We are exactly halfway through the 8 o'clock hour, 8:31 now the time, 29 minutes shy of 9 o'clock. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed Show. It's a Thursday edition, as we do each and every Thursday. We welcome our mayor in for a conversation, Mayor Sue Kemp stepping in today. Good morning, Mayor Kemp. How are you today?
I'm really good this morning, Ed. So far, it's going to be a hot one again.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're looking at highs in the next couple of days to the mid-90s. We've got that hurricane swirling off the coast of San Diego, a couple hundred miles off coast. We're going to be feeling the effects of that. I got a little notice yesterday that Edison is going to be doing some power shutdowns here on Friday and maybe possibly into Saturday. So, yeah, we're in that preparative state, aren't we?
Yeah, when is the last time you ever heard of a hurricane coming as far north as Laguna Beach in September?
Right.
I mean, really, really. Just think about our weather over the summer. This hurricane now. I mean, we're in for a wild ride with our weather.
Right.
It's very apparent.
I want to address the fire hazard of the weather in particular, and then maybe talk a little bit about where we'll be in the future with fire. But we're expecting over the next couple of days a lot of heat, a lot of wind, a lot of dry conditions, and it is, of course, super dangerous for us over this weekend.
That's right, and I hope we get some good rain, though. I was looking at the weather report, and they said that, you know, very high percentage of rain on tomorrow and Saturday. So I'm hoping, you know, with all this, you know, this wind, I hope we get some rain to kind of tamp down some of the dryness in our hills. It's just really, it's been very, very nerve-wracking. This weather has just been, you know, just problematic. And so if we get a bunch of rain, that'll really help us. It's not going to help us if Edison shuts down our power because of the wind. But, you know, they're super paranoid now because they've been on the wrong end of some of these fires.
Right. So, I would welcome their paranoia, even if it means a couple hours of being without power. I would welcome the paranoia so long as a power line doesn't cut down, doesn't fall over and start a fire somewhere or something like that. So,
absolutely.
I got a question for you. A listener brought this up to me yesterday, and I just heard about it again today. Tell me if I'm wrong in this, in that Mo Honaker is passing around, trying to get signatures to fight the mass size and scale initiative or mass size and scale. What's going on there?
So the council passed an ordinance for mass height and scale in our town. So what we do is we basically, you know, recodified, even though we have a 36-foot height limit. We kind of recodified that, and we also said that, you know, if you're going to build something here, it has to have it can only have so much street frontage. It has to be, you know, if, let's say you have a large development, it has to be broken up. It has to look like multiple buildings. You know, if you think about the old Pottery Place, where some of those old buildings were incorporated with new buildings, and you know it's a kind of a pedestrian small scale, you know, development. That's the kind of thing that Laguna Beach likes, and this is the way we've always been. So we passed that because, you know, as a council member, you know, that's one of the things about Measure Q that people are all worried about. They're worried they get ginned up about, oh, we're going to have all these big buildings, and you know, we're going to destroy the town. And as an elected official, you know, first of all, we all live here for the same reason. But the second thing is that, you know, we're not worried about that. The council's not worried about that. But then people say, like, well, you know, what if you guys are, you know, we have a different group and we're going to have, you know, we're going to have out of control development. So that's why we passed that mass height and scale ordinance. And it'll go forward to coastal, and that'll be the end of that. Now people can say, oh, you're going to repeal that. No, it's hard to repeal, and we're not going to do that. So that's the problem, I think, that he's having an issue with, is he doesn't like that. But, you know, we have very clear guidelines about what you can do in that ordinance. And if you follow the guidelines, you can do some development in town, but you have to do it in the way, what I would call the Laguna way.
Right.
So in that way, and we're also going to come up with kind of design guidelines. We're going to have a design guideline document coming out of community development, which will give some more, or, you know, kind of more embellishment to the ordinance that we passed, to give anybody who wants to do anything in this town some guidelines. You know, we're largely built out. We're not going to have big developments here anyway. We're largely built out. You know, Coastal Commission doesn't want to see much built along the coast anymore. So, you know, we're in this kind of period where, you know, we defined what we'd like to see, and that's the way we're going to go forward.
Right. And as far as you know, is it Mo Honaker that's leading the charge for this petition, these signatures?
Well, interestingly enough, I was sitting at La Serena and a woman approached me with this thing. And I said, well, who has hired you? And she said, Mohanaker. And I said, oh, I said, okay, well, I can't actually sign that because I'm the co-author of the ordinance.
Well, wouldn't that be something to see your signature on there? Oh, well, look who signed. All right.
Yeah. She kind of continued to argue with me, and I said, hey, I'm the mayor, and I don't like to drop the M word, but I said, I am the mayor, and I did co-author that ordinance with, Mayor Whalen. See, the other thing, the beauty about that ordinance is it doesn't kill the businesses in our town, so we can continue to add new businesses as we need, or, we can be flexible.
Right.
And with businesses, but it just takes that whole argument off the table, which none of us want, big development here anyway.
Right.
You'd have to, it's almost impossible to do anything here anyway because of our usual red tape. Right. We put some more red tape on top of the red tape.
So it's
piled pretty high now.
So it's gorilla red tape is what it is. It's that stuff you can't pull off anymore.
Well, yeah, and the other thing about, just on a macro level, just thinking about, the world as it is and the weather and how things are changing and what a complicated time we're living in. I am 100% against tying up our land use, because who am I to say, in my mid-60s, what some people, the next generation is going to need in the next 20 or 30 years? We don't know.
Right.
I mean, what if we have a hurricane that knocks down half of downtown? What do you have to do? Go to the ballot, and try to figure out what you're going to rebuild your town, how are you going to do it? And I just don't want to hamstring anybody, for future generations. I want them to do what they think they need to do.
Right.
It's going to be vastly different. We're going to have sea level rise. Who knows what's going to happen? Best to just leave it alone and have flexibility. That's always better.
Okay. So the thing that everybody's talking about is this Measure Q, and it won't just block larger developments, which obviously nobody wants. It's going to trigger citywide elections for things like coffee shops and pizzerias and stuff. Explain to our audience exactly what that might mean to our city's emergency preparedness.
Well, here's one of my biggest issues is, so Measure Q doesn't exempt government buildings. So, case in point, we're going to be building a fire station in South Laguna. We're in the process of purchasing a property, which, is three parcels, and we combine those three parcels to build a fire station. And because we're combining parcels under Measure Q, that has to go to the ballot. Now, we're living in extreme fire danger. It's a very dicey situation. We have really old fire stations. We want to build a nice state-of-the-art fire station down there. The fuel load's pretty high in South Laguna. But we want to build something good in there, and that's going to have to go to the ballot. So you can imagine if we do, our environmental due diligence, which we always have to do before we build something, then what do we have to do? Wait a couple years at taxpayers' expense to go to the ballot to see if they're going to be okay with it and then start building? I mean, we don't need that. We need to, as soon as we can break ground and build that fire station, that's what we need to do.
Right.
We can't be messing up here. It's not smart. And, we're purchasing St. Catharines, for example. That's considered a government building because the city owns it for civic uses. Depending on the uses there, which will very high likelihood it has to go to the ballot because it's not going to be a school anymore. So there's the whole government thing that is a problem. And the other thing is just small businesses. We're going to be in what's called the cumulative effect probably day one. The ballot measure passes, and that's an 8-year look back on anything that's been proposed or approved over the last 8 years, and over a certain area of town. So it means that any small businesses that are changing use, let's say I used to have a hat store, now I want to have like a little taco shop or something, that's probably going to have to go to the ballot. We just don't want to do that. We want the small, one-off businesses. And the only businesses that are going to be able to afford to come in here are chain businesses that have deep pockets, even if they want to hassle with it. I mean, Chipotle's tried to come in here twice, very popular chain.
Right.
They run into our usual red tape, and they don't come in. So, and I'm not saying we should have a Chipotle downtown, so don't misread me, the listeners. But I'm saying, as an example, it's hard. It's hard under our current rules, so you don't need to lard on another, layer of rules. If you'll see in the ballot pamphlet when you come out that, the owner of Zinc, John Secretan, signed against the ballot measure. You'll see the owner of Lumberyard, Terry Redfern, signed against the ballot measure. So that's what business owners, and these people are residents.
Right.
A lot of our business owners are residents. That's what they think.
Right. Right. Well, I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at a long list of business owners that have signed against it. And going back to Chipotle, by the way, I'm not a fan of Chipotle. I just don't dig their food. I really don't. I'm just not a fan of their food. I couldn't see myself standing in line for an hour to wait for it either. So that's where that is.
Well, I can't believe how many times I get asked, why can't we have a Chipotle here? It's, you know, it's a younger crowd, right? The kids, the parents with kids, and anyway.
Right. Yeah, you know, when I want authentic, really decent Mexican food, give me Carmelitas, for goodness sakes, man. Give me something like that. Yeah. So a question that is really, it's been on my mind for a couple of weeks. It may be hard to answer in this forum right here, but is there a single answer to our homeless situation? Is there one answer that you just think, all right, well, this is it? And if not, then take us through the process of how we would address it and help us understand how you'd include the need to provide mental health services.
Well, you know, unless the county really wants, the biggest problem we have are people who are service resistant. That's the biggest homeless problem that we are, unsheltered problem that we have. And, you know, a lot of times there's service resistance because of mental illness, some drug addiction, but I think also mental illness. And if we don't have, the county doesn't want to step up and provide a place for us to send people, you know, asking cities to do it on their own. We have the ASL, but that's not, doesn't have anything to do with it. That's just housing people overnight. But, you know, if we don't have kind of a, countywide plan to take care of that, it's going to continue to be a problem. Now, in Laguna Beach, you know, there's many factors that has reduced our, Peter made a comment yesterday, it's down 60%, which is exactly, that's accurate. The reason it's down 60% is a variety of reasons, and this is why it's so hard, is we have the ASL. We sleep 45 people out there by registration. So the Friendship Shelter took over registration. They register people in there for 30 days as long as they agree to go to, some supportive housing somewhere else. So if they don't, then, they get a bus ticket or whatever they do there. So that's helpful. Also, our police officer outreach, right. they stay in touch with these people all the time. They know all the homeless people in town, so they're helpful. A few years ago, Steve Dictorow and Peter Blake went to the district attorney because we had like 20 people on a list that, habitually commit crimes. And, when you book them, they get right out. So we got our own district attorney there, and we turn any of those people that are on that list, they get turned over, and some of those people have gone to prison. So there's that. And then we got Assemblywoman Connie Petrie Norris, we got a grant for $1.5 million for BeWell. BeWell also helps with homeless people, getting them shelter. So, it's kind of you have to throw the kitchen sink at it kind of in a way to deal with it. And a lot of it is because, some of it is because we don't have a place to put the mentally ill.
Right.
And if we could get that, that's our biggest problem. It's just, we have one guy I noticed this weekend, I talked to one of the police officers, the guy's just service resistant, and he's mentally ill, but we can't do anything with him because he just refuses. So this is the kind of problems that you have, and they're just hard to tackle. And that's why all these cities are struggling with it so much, because it takes, a variety of tactics to deal with it.
Right. Now, two or three locations where we could take care of the mentally ill, is that a county responsibility, and is that something that the cities are getting together and maybe want the county to take care of or take more responsibility in?
Yeah, so I testified before the county, I don't know what it was, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago or something, about this, and we were talking about it. And so I think the county is aware. I don't know where they are on it. That's one thing I can ask Supervisor Bartlett or Supervisor Foley about it, but that's really what we need. We just can't, a town our size, we can't handle it on our own.
Right. Okay.
So we just can't. Another thing is on the hospital, we have two people from the council, Bob Whalen and Peter Blake, working with the hospital, and they're working with Mission Hospital because we're the South County place for, to drop off people like that are having issues, and we don't need to be there. Why are you dropping off in Laguna Beach? Come on, this is a tiny little town.
Exactly.
So we just need a place that where everybody in South County can take their people, that they get the treatment that they need. We're not equipped for that here.
Yeah. Now, Anne-Marie and I lived in South Laguna for a long time. And yeah, the stories that you hear about the people running up and down the street naked and unfortunately some of the mentally ill. Yeah, they're true. All of those stories are true.
Yep.
as we hire more Laguna Beach police officers and as we train more officers, would you be looking to increase the number of community outreach officers as well?
Well, I think, you know, what we're doing is we're hiring these neighborhood enforcement teams or neighborhood engagement teams. So we're going to hire like 10 officers. So we have 3 on board right now. We're going to have 5 permanent, 5 full-time, 5 part-time. Then they have a sergeant and 2 corporals. We talked about this yesterday at a Board of Realtors meeting. But we're going to have those guys, and they are called park rangers. You can see them now. They're driving around, you know, vehicles, and they say park ranger, but that says, you know, City of Laguna Beach Police Department underneath that. So we're going to have, we have 3 of those guys on board. And so I think they're going to be doing, and I don't know all their specific duties, Ed, but I know they're going to be, you know, working in the neighborhoods and on the beaches, because they have everything except a gun.
Right.
So they don't carry a gun, but they are able to do a lot of things that police officers can do, which takes the burden off of police officers to do other things. So I don't know how they're going to, you know, once we're fully staffed, how they're going to kind of like rejig the police department to accommodate that. But that's a very good question.
Okay. As always, we appreciate your candor. And I want to say, most of all, thank you for thinking of the next generation. Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that people our age really should be concerned about the next generation and the generation after that. And I really appreciate that. And we also mentioned Mexican food, by the way. I can't let Avila's El Ranchito or La Serena go without the love that they deserve here.
We do have some good Mexican food in town. Really, we do.
We do have some of the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're the best margaritas, too, man.
Mayor Sue Kemp, I can't thank you enough for coming in on a Thursday. We appreciate it. And we'll look forward to having you here in studio at some point here in the next month or so, maybe.
Okay. Stay hydrated and cool, everybody.
You as well. Thank you so much. Mayor Sue Kemp, it's 8:49 on the Mornings with Ed Show.